Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. This is Augusto Perez and Shalom. Today, we're going to take on the second part, like I promised last week. Last time we did a program, Messages from Beyond the Veil, I told you we were going to do the second part next week. And last week we talked about tribulation and the great tribulation and the day of the Lord, but we did not get into the day of the Lord. We talked about mostly the difference between the word tribulation, great tribulation mentioned in the Bible, which Christendom has basically adopted that as the time when hell is going to break loose on the earth. And then they have based, the church has based on the theologians, the end time prophecy teachers have focused on the great tribulation, or most of the time they say tribulation during the tribulation of the end times. And so that word has been used and used and misused so much that it becomes difficult for God's people to differentiate that tribulation, which is, I explained last week, I'm going to touch on it, just the highlights, so you, in case you forgot or in case you did not listen to it, you need to listen to it. Last week's program, the previous message from Beyond the Veil. And that is the tribulation basically is throughout the Bible. Throughout the Bible. We are going to go through tribulation. We are going through tribulation. Some more to a greater degree and some less. But everyone on this earth that is really a child of God, especially. Sometimes the heathens also go through severe tribulations, and then they find Jesus. So in this world, we're going to have tribulation. Jesus said it. He said, in this world, you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. And I went through that last week, that we can go through tribulation and still be of good cheer. Keep an attitude of shalom. And I specified and I explained to you with great detail. I'm not going to go through it again. Go back and listen to it. What tribulation entails. And Apostle Paul, he kind of encapsulates all of that in the book of Romans chapter 8. When he said trial, tribulation, persecution, famine, nakedness, sword. He said, nay, none of these things shall separate us from the love of God, even martyrdom. And so, you know, throughout the Bible, we see that. We see that tribulation is many times referred to as something that we are going to go through. Just go ahead and ask the Chinese Christians. Go ahead and ask the Christians in Venezuela, the Christians in Cuba, the Christians in many of the Muslim nations, the Christians in many African nations, and every part of the world. Right now, Christians are going through persecution here in the United States. Not as much as you would in Cuba or China, but it is persecution nevertheless. And isolation and rejection. All of these things we experience. All of these things, whether great or not as great, tribulation. And so when you hear the word great tribulation, basically what that is saying is, it's going to be great tribulation. That's it. I mean, there's no other way to put it. You're going to have tribulation, but it's going to be a mega tribulation. That is the word used in the Bible, in the original text, in the Greek, mega, mega tribulation. So it's going to be tribulation multiplied by a factor of 10 or 100, okay? So that is what that is about. It has nothing to do with the day of the Lord. It has nothing to do with the wrath of the Lamb. Those are two totally different things. And so we have to understand this, because people get too caught up in the pre-tribulation rapture, mid-tribulation rapture, or post-tribulation. And I have been through all of that, like I told you last week. I've been through each one of those, and I stood for one of those three stands at some time in my walk with the Lord. And the Almighty had to bring me through all of those phases, and eventually he brought me to where I am today, because I saw that none of those doctrinal views were correct in the Word of God. The one that that is the closest to the truth, but it's not the truth either, but is closer to the truth, is the post-tribulation rapture theory. But the problem with that one is that they do not differentiate the Great Tribulation from the Wrath of the Lamb, and they lump everything in there, and that is not the way I see it in the Word of God. That's not the way it is. That's not the way it is, folks, because when I go through what's going to happen during the wrath of the Lamb today, you're going to see why that is not ordained for the bride. It's not ordained for the children of the Lord. That is not for the bride of Christ, because that is the wrath of the Lamb. In other words, it's the wrath of the bridegroom. So just reason in your mind for once, because, you know, the Bible, you've got to reason these things out, okay? You also have to use your mind. You have to use your God-given imagination and your mind to look at things to see if they make sense. If something doesn't make sense, usually it is not from God. If something just doesn't make sense, you should pray about it, because probably it is not from the Lord, okay? Unless the Lord specifically comes down and talks to you and tells you something. And sometimes you have to be careful, because that also could be a deception from the enemy if you do not recognize the voice of the Lord. So you have to be very sensitive and very discerning. But just think about this. Why would the bridegroom pour out his wrath on the bride here on the earth? Why would he do that? What's the purpose of that? Don't you see, that would be wife abuse, wouldn't it? I mean, that would be spousal abuse, if you ask me. I mean, just think about it in the natural. Does not the Word of God teach us that, you know, even Jesus and the Word of God teaches us to be kind to your wife, to be loving, to treat her, you know, with love and care as the weaker vessel, you know. All of these things is how Jesus Christ sees us, the bride. And what he asks the husbands in this world to do regarding their wives, why would he do the contrary? Does that make sense to you? I mean, really, I'm not trying to make a joke out of this or a mockery. Really, seriously, would Jesus Christ do that to his bride? Of course. Of course not. And so this is why we have to be discerning when we look at some of these things. We have to use a little bit of common sense, which is so lacking in today's society. There is no common sense. It seems like people have thrown their common sense to the wind. Men changing their sexes to women and women changing their sexes to men. And then you hear people say, well, we just don't know how to tell the difference. Duh. God created men and women differently. I mean, all they have to do is look down. Anyway, running along. We are living in a crazy society, crazy world. And this is exactly what the Lord also predicted was going to be in the coming days, in the end times, right before he came. And so I'm going to take you, and I'm going to, by the hand, and I'm going to show you some of these things, okay? Because I think people need to know these things. There's a lot of fear. There's a lot of chaos out there. And while we are in this world, I told you last week, we're going to go through all those things that are written in the first five seals in the Bible. Okay? We're going to see religious, which is basically what it is, you know, the religious Antichrist system, which is the white horse. We're going to see the red horse, which is going to be wars and rumors of wars. We're going to see the black horse, which is death and you know, famine and all that stuff. And we're going to see the pale horse, which is pestilence and diseases and pandemics. And all of these things have been happening in the world, people, for a long time. It's not just all of these things going to be squeezed into a very short period of time when the Antichrist appears, the final Antichrist, because there have been many Antichrists. And the Bible tells you that too. Many Antichrists, because Antichrist is a spirit. It's a spirit that opposes Christ and anyone that is and belongs to Jesus Christ. That is the Antichrist spirit. Exalts itself. And there is a religious body that has done that. And I don't know if I'll be able to talk about it today, because I have touched on this in the past, but there is a religious body on the earth today which all the early church fathers, all of them, believed that it was symbolized, the Antichrist beast system spoken of in the book of Revelation was symbolized by this religious body and its representative. And the list of representatives, which is Papal Rome. And I could quote you, and I did quote many, many, many quotes in the study we did, Apocalypse Revealed. I recommend you go through it. And all the quotes from the early church fathers about this. And they all said similar things. They all believed that this individual was the Antichrist. And of course, you know, that vision that John had on the book of Revelation on the island of Patmos, I mean, Apostle John went through hell. The Romans wanted him dead. And so they put him in the pot of boiling oil. And they put him in there and they shot him in. Just like the three Hebrew children during the reign of Nebuchadnezzar in the fiery furnace. Remember that? Just like that, but this was a pot of boiling oil. And they put John in there, Apostle John. And after some time, they went back to check on him, and he came out unscathed. Just a few, you know, a few bruises here and there, a few boils. He was alive. And so in that condition, after that trauma, after that serious attempt to kill him and not being able to, that's when they took him and dumped him there, dumped John in the island of Patmos in that condition. And in that condition probably is when he had this vision. He had this vision. And, you know, a lot of people want to have visions and dreams and things like that, but are you willing to go through things like John the Apostle John went through? Are you willing to pay the price? Are you willing to go through hell here on earth? Are you willing to go through seasons where it seems like you're going through literally through hell? Are you willing to do that? Some of you are probably, you know what I'm saying. When you go through that kind of thing, for some reason, it opens you up. You die. You die to self. You die to yourself. You die to things you want in the flesh. You die to the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. You die to those things. This world doesn't matter to you anymore. When you get to that level, you begin to see things, and the Lord begins to show things to you and begins to take you places. And there is a price to pay for that. Praise you, Jesus. Now, what is the day of the Lord, Augusto? Well, it's spoken of last week, I told you, and I just did a quick search in the Bible to see how many times the day of the Lord appear. And when I did that, I found out that there were 390 scriptures just with the day of the Lord. I didn't even look at the day of wrath, the day of his wrath, the day of Christ, the day of vengeance. I mean, there's many, many different phrases that it goes by. Not just the day of the Lord. And so when I saw that there were over 390, but there were much more, obviously. When I saw there were that many scriptures dealing with the day of the Lord, I just say, wait a minute, Augusto, you got this whole thing wrong. And I started looking at this, and this is when the Lord began to open my eyes and reveal these things to me. Now, in the book of Joel, chapter 2, verse 1, it says, blow the trumpet in Zion and sound the alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord comes, for it is near at hand. Blow the trumpet in Zion. Again, there's the trumpet. Sound the alarm in my holy mount. Let the inhabitants of the land tremble. So obviously this is a time which is horrific. Horrific. Isaiah chapter 2 verse 12. For the day of the Lord of hosts shall come upon everyone that is proud and lofty, and upon everyone that is lifted up, excuse me, and he shall be brought low. Then Joel 2:31, the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord comes. And that goes right along with what Jesus said. Jesus said in Matthew 24, and what it says there in Revelation chapter 6, the sixth seal, it matches it perfectly. Here it's called the great and terrible day of the Lord, And in Revelation chapter 6, at the end of the chapter there, it refers to it as the day of the wrath of the Lamb, the time of the wrath of the Lamb has come. There is the wrath of the Lamb, and here is the day of the Lord. Because remember that in the book of Revelation, right, I believe it's in chapter 5, that is when the Lamb that was slain takes the book, the scroll, from the hand of him that sits on the throne. Because no one was found worthy to take the scroll and open its seals thereof, except the Lamb of God that was slain. And so the Lamb now takes possession of that scroll, which I said it was the title deed of the earth. And now he is the one that's going to take it back. Jesus Christ, Yahushua, is the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. The first time he came as a lamb to take away the sins of the world, this next time he's coming as a conquering king to take back the earth. Except that the ones that are in control of the earth right now, they are not going to give it back so easily. They are not going to yield planet earth to the Almighty. They're not. And this is what the Battle of Armageddon is all about, where the battle will be fought here on the planet earth for it. And it will be a scorched earth type of battle. Okay? It will be horrific. And you will see how horrific it will be by the time I'm through today. It's going to be horrific. And I may not be able to get through this today. And it says in Zephaniah 1:14, the great day of the Lord is near, hastens quickly. Even the voice of the day of the Lord, there the mighty man shall cry out bitterly. That goes along with the Colburn. I have read to you the Colburn from the Book of Manuscripts, where it says there that the man and the mighty man cry out bitterly like a woman in travail. That is in the Colburn. When they see the planet Earth, when they see planet X, which is much more than planet X, it's Nemesis. And the Nemesis constellation in the heavens. And the effects it has on mankind here on the earth. And, you know, when you read all these things, it's very difficult to wrap your brain around this and to believe it. It's very hard to believe it, I understand. But when you read all these things I have read, when you read it like myself and you pray about it and God shows you things about it, like he has me, he has shown me multiple visions of Planet X, a Nemesis, approaching in different years, in different phases, each time closer and closer. I have seen the devastation that is going to wreak on the planet. When you go through all of that, and you read all of the things, and you've seen all of the things like I have, you begin to get an understanding of what we're dealing with here. We're not dealing with a little meteor shower like people think it's going to be. We're not dealing here with a little solar flare like people think it's going to be. We're dealing here with way much more than that. We're dealing here with the wrath of the Lamb where, well, you'll see what's going to happen. The heavens are going to be shaken. People. Listen. Isaiah 13:6. Wail, you wail, for the day of the Lord is at hand. It shall come as destruction from the Almighty. Now here it's telling us that it's going to come as a destruction from the Almighty. It's telling us clearly what it is. This is total destruction of the planet. Are you with me? So a lot of people, they base the tribulation, when you hear all the prophecy teachers and all these people on TV and on the other platforms and blah, 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 in the churches, forget about it. They don't even talk about the coming of the Lord anymore, most churches. They don't even touch it. And those that touch it just talk about what I just said. Talk about the Antichrist and the mark of the beast, and that's it. I don't know really. The ministries out there that teach what I'm teaching like this, I don't know of any. I mean, they talk about it. They talk about Planet X, but they do not connect the dots like I'm telling you in this program. And so this is only for those of you that have ears to hear. We are not on YouTube. They kicked us out for obvious reasons. And I made no attempt to go back there. Why should I? Where the Lord is not welcome and the truth is not welcome, I don't want to be there. Where you have to lie and you have to twist truths and say half-truths so that they let you be there, why should I be there? I didn't do it when I went to churches. The churches that put a muzzle on me and didn't let me speak truths from the Word of God, not truths that are capricious things that I wanted to say. No. Truths from the Word of God, truths that are verifiable, truths that have foundational backing. And I know it is the truth. I'm not talking about fantasy here or stories or scenarios. No, I'm talking about truth, biblical truth. If I'm not able to preach biblical truth, I never went back to those churches. Never. I never went back there. So I do the same with YouTube and do the same with any place that the truth is not welcome. The word, the foundational word of God, which is truth. And this is what I'm preaching to you, the truth. I'm not giving you any fables or any man-made stories. I'm telling you the truth. Reading your scriptures. In the book of Zephaniah 1:18, neither their silver nor their gold shall be able to deliver them in the day of the Lord's wrath, but the whole land shall be devoured by the fire of his jealousy, for he shall make even a speedy riddance of all of them that dwell in the land. I mean, that's pretty clear right there. When this time comes, none of these things are going to help, folks. None of these things are going to help. The gold and the silver that people are accumulating and amassing. I mean, it's good to have some of that for the immediate time when, you know, when we go through a phase, I guess, where, you know, you cannot buy or sell, and they will restrict that, you know, to have some in hand to be able to barter, stuff like that. I understand that. But you read the scripture. You heard it. It's not going to do any good when the day of the Lord comes. And so here comes, Isaiah 13. We're going to go back to Isaiah 13 in a moment. But let's go now to Ezekiel 33. He says, for the day is near, even the day of the Lord is near, a cloudy day. It shall be the time of the heathen. And then Joel 1:15, alas, for the day of the Lord is at hand, as destruction from the Almighty shall he come. And then in Zephaniah 2:3, seek ye the Lord, all the meek of the earth, who have kept his commands. Seek righteousness, seek meekness. It may be you shall be hidden in the day of the Lord's anger. That's pretty powerful right there. And that's in Zephaniah 2:3. In Zephaniah 2:3, let's look at that. Zephaniah 2:3. It's pretty interesting. It says, Seek ye the Lord, okay. It shall be, you shall be hidden. And that word hidden is the word kathar, which is, the word is a Hebrew word, which means to hide, literally or figuratively, to be absent. So there it leaves the possibility open that he can protect you here, or he can take you away from here. It also means to be absent, to conceal, to hide in a secret place. So that is talking about whatever that it means there. It's talking about the Almighty hiding you in the cleft of his rock. Okay? And so there is that's a very powerful scripture. Very powerful scripture. And then he goes there in another one in Joel chapter 2, verse 11. And the Lord shall utter his voice before his army. Now notice he calls it his army. For his camp is very great, for he is strong that executes his word. For the day of the Lord is great and very terrible, and who can abide it? That's Joel chapter 2, verse 11. Let's take a look at that. Let's take a look at that. And Joel chapter 2, verse 11. It says, who can endure it? The day of the Lord is very terrible. That word terrible is the word yare in the Hebrew, which means dreadful. It means terrible. And who can abide it? Who can, that means the kuo is means to, you know, sustain. Who can sustain it? Who can be present? So again, there you see the word present. Who can be present that can take it? So again, there is an, it's alluding to the fact that if you're here, you can't handle it. You just can't. And Malachi chapter 3, verse 2 says, but who may endure the day of his coming, and who shall stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. Of course, that one had a partial fulfillment when Jesus appeared on the earth the first time as a lamb, remember? But that has another second fulfillment in the end when he comes as the conquering king. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon into blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord comes. That's Joel 2:31. All right. And then, there's so many of them. There are so many. And it says, and I will come near to you for judgment. And this is Malachi 3:5. And I will be swift witness against the sorcerers, against the adulterers, the false swearers, against those who oppress the hireling and his wages, the widow and the fatherless, says the Lord of hosts. And Obadiah chapter 1, verse 15. For the day of the Lord is near upon all the nations. As you have done, it shall be done unto you. Your reward shall be upon your heads. Joel 3:14. Multitudes in the valley of decision. For the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. And then, of course, 2 Peter 3:10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works of therein shall be burnt up. Now there, 2 Peter 3:10, that one is pretty self-explanatory. Let's go there. 2 Peter 3:10. It says, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. Again, what's that mean, Augusto? It means it comes unexpectedly. Nobody will see it coming. It's going to come like a thief in the night. It comes when you least expect it. Okay? Swift. It doesn't mean like the movie, you know, about the raptures. They have made many movies about that. I think there's one called like A Thief in the Night, where where the rapture happens, you know, silently and quietly, and people just disappear. That's not the way it's going to be, people. That is not the way it's going to be at all. When he says as a thief in the night, it's talking about out of nowhere, when you least expect it, just like the 10 virgins. Five were foolish and five wise. The foolish ones were not prepared. And then all of a sudden at 12 midnight, they heard a cry, the bridegroom cometh. They were not ready for it. They were not prepared. And then it says, it comes as a thief in the night in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise. Now, does that sound like quiet to you? The heavens passing away with a great noise and the elements melting with fervent heat. Does that sound like quietly and secretly? You know, they talk about the secret rapture. Does that sound like secret and quiet to you? The heavens passing away with a great noise. Let me see if I can break that to you more even. It says, right? 2 Peter 3:10, but the heavens, the Uranos, okay, shall pass away. That word there is pass away, be destroyed with a great noise. With a great noise, and the elements, estoichon, shall melt, luo, will dissolve, will melt, will be destroyed with fervent heat. And another description for that word, causo, fervent heat, is the heavens will be set on fire. That, I like that one better, because that is exactly what the Lord showed me that Nemesis is going to do. It's going to set the heavens on fire. I saw it. And the earth also going to be set on fire. There it says, the heavens shall melt with fervent heat. And the earth also, and the works that are therein, in other words, everything on planet Earth shall be burned up. That word there is the word katakayo. It will be consumed, utterly consumed, completely. And then Peter goes on to say, seeing that all these things shall be dissolved, shall be destroyed, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking and hastening unto the oncoming of the day of the Lord. He calls it here the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire, puro, the heavens are going to be burning, shall be dissolved, shall be destroyed, dissolved, and the elements, that were there, the elements, is basically that, is the elements shall melt, shall be melting, liquefying is another word that used to describe the word melt, is teko, which is liquefy, melting. That is another thing that happens when volcanoes begin to erupt. Is, you know, the rocks and the earth begins to liquefy with fervent heat, set on fire. And then he says, nevertheless, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth. A new Uranus and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. So he talks about here a new heaven and a new earth. Are you beginning to get an idea now, people, what we're talking about here? Are you beginning to get an idea about the difference between the day of the Lord and just the tribulation? Or are you still confused because of all that leaven that you have been contaminated with for decades? It has kind of plugged up your ears with religious whack that is not easily removed. The religious wax and the traditions of men and the teachings of men that have accumulated in your spiritual ears does not allow you to hear clearly the word of the Lord that I'm speaking. Salah. Let's go on now to chapter 13 of Isaiah, because this is the clincher. So, here we see that the day of God's wrath, right? It talks about in Isaiah 13, in verse 5, it says, they come from a far country, from the end of the earth. Let's start in verse 4. The noise of a multitude in the mountains, like that of great people, a tumultuous noise of the kingdoms of nations gathered together, the Lord of hosts musters the army of the battle. They come from a far country. Remember, Jesus many times talked about in parables about the fact of someone that came and, he came from a far country. He referred to himself as having come from a far country. And then he made another parable about the bridegroom. He says, and then the bridegroom went to a far country. Are you trekking with me? So Jesus made reference to this. And it says, they come from a far country. In verse 5, Isaiah 13:5, from the end of heaven, even the Lord, even the Lord comes from the end of heaven, and the weapons of his indignation to destroy the whole land. So there is the weapons of his indignation. It's called the apparatus, the instruments, okay, that he's going to use to destroy the world, okay? And so this is, the weapons of his indignation doesn't have to mean weapons in the sense that we know weapons. It's what he is going to use, what he is going to utilize, that which he is going to utilize, the means, the apparatus, whatever it is that he is going to use in his indignation to destroy the earth. And that word, the land there, is also translated earth. And so, and that word there, to destroy, that's exactly what it means, people, destroy. And so there in verse 6, wail ye there, for the day of the Lord is at hand. It shall come as a destruction from the Almighty. Therefore shall all hands be feeble, and every man's heart shall melt. People, this is exactly what it says in the book of the Colburn. When Planet X, which they called Doomshape, also they called him the Destroyer, when they saw that over Egypt, they had scribes there that recorded all these events and even made mention of Moses, not by name, they called him a great leader that led the Israelites, the Jews, out of Egypt. And they talk about it. Everything that is written in the book of the Culbran corroborates to the T exactly everything that is said in the scriptures, the plagues, everything. Except in the Culbran, it doesn't have that, you know, that Bible flavor. It doesn't have that. It's not spoken. It's not recorded from that worldview, from that point of view. Are you with me? But it says the same thing, factual and precise, the same things. The Culbran talks about how all the hands of men are going to be feeble and every man's heart is going to melt. And verse 8 in Isaiah 13, and they shall be afraid, pangs and sorrows shall take hold of them. They shall be in pain as a woman in trouble. The same thing it says in the Culbran, similar things. And shall be amazed one to another, their faces shall be as flames. Behold, the day of the Lord comes, cruel both with wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate, and shall destroy its sinners out of it. Do you see anywhere there the word his children or the word the bride? No, it's not there, is it? Not there. In other words, when he's through with this earth, he says it's going to be desolate. It's going to be a waste. And he shall destroy the sinners thereof out of it. And then in verse 10, he says, for the stars of heaven and the constellation shall not give their light. Now here, again, here is the scripture that we read here in the book of Revelation chapter 6, and in many other scriptures, in Matthew chapter 24, in Luke chapter 21, in Mark chapter 13, basically says the same things. In some of the Gospels, in Matthew and Luke, it's a bit more, they say a little bit more than in others like Mark, but basically they say the same thing. They're saying the same thing. And says there that the stars, and that word stars there is, again, it's asteroids. The word in the New Testament is asteroids, the stars of heaven. And it could be also in this particular text. Stars is the Hebrew word kobab, which it could mean the star there. In this particular one, it could be planets and stars. It's not the same as in Revelation 6, because it says that the stars of heaven and the constellations shall not give their light. In other words, they shall be darkened. So that probably is referring to planets and stars, literally. And the sun shall be darkened. In other words, something happens to make it go dim in his going forth, and the moon shall not cause her light to shine and to illuminate. So there again is literally the same thing, that we have been talking about. That is going to happen in the book of Revelation chapter 6. And let's go there. Why don't we go there? Book of Revelation chapter 6 in the, okay. There in Revelation 6, okay, after he opens the sixth seal, the first thing that happens in verse 12 is there was a great earthquake and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair and the moon became as blood. Something is going to happen to the sun that's going to darken it. And the stars of the heaven shall fall upon the earth. that there is asters, like asteroids. Because no stars, no planets are going to fall on the Earth. So that word there is aster. It's a little different than the verse we were just reading before. Even as a fig tree casts its unripe figs when it's shaken by a mighty wind. And the heavens departed as a scroll when it's rolled together. And every mountain and island were moved out of their places. So this is going to be a mega earthquake. Could it be maybe an asteroid hitting the land? Or could it be a pole shift? Could it be both? May thinks that that's exactly what it is. And it says that the stars, the asteroids falling on the earth like a fig tree casting its unripe figs when shaken by a mighty wind, they're going to start pounding the earth. Okay? When this thing comes by planet Earth, okay, Nemesis with its entourage, all of these things are going to happen. This is what's going to usher in the great and terrible day of the Lord, people. And the heavens depart as a scroll rolled together. What did we just read in Isaiah 13? What did we just read in Isaiah 13? That's exactly what he said there. Exactly what he says there. And in Isaiah 13:10, the skies will go dark. The sun and the moon and stars will not shine. Everything will be darkened. I'm reading now from the easy to read version. Okay? And then in verse 13, in my anger I will shake the heavens and the earth shall be moved from its place. That's a pole shift, folks. Isaiah 13:13 is talking about a pole shift. This will happen on the day of the Lord, all-powerful shows his anger. So, anyway, this is exactly what Revelation 6 says. And then you go to Matthew 24. Jesus was talking the same thing there in Revelation 24. And he says, immediately, verse 29, immediately after the tribulation of those days, remember, he separates, Jesus Christ, Yeshua, separates the tribulation, the mega tribulation of those days, which is going to be, you know, all of these other things, persecutions, the famines, the pestilences, the martyrdom, hunger, all of these things together, okay? Immediately after that, in those days shall the sun be darkened, the moon shall not give its light, the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. What did Jesus just describe there, folks? He described Isaiah 13, and he described Revelation chapter 6 at the end there, after the sixth seal. And then he says, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man of heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And then shall he send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect. It's not talking about the Jews, like some of you people out there believe. No. Read the epistles. Why don't you read the epistles? In every one of the epistles, Apostle Paul refers to the redeemed as the elect of God. The elect is not just the Jews. It's the Jews that accepted Jesus. Yeah, the Jews that are saved, but also the Gentiles and the heathens and everybody from every race, tribe, and tongue that has been born again and washed in the blood of the Lamb. Those are the elect. From the four winds of the earth, from one hand of heaven to the other. Okay? And, of course, same thing is said in Luke chapter 21, the same thing happens in verse 25, because I don't have time to go into it, but in chapter 21 there in Luke, he first talks, and in 24, Matthew 24 too, Jesus is asked two questions by the disciples. You know, when shall the temple in Jerusalem be destroyed? Because remember, he said, not two stones shall be left one on top of the other. Remember that? So they asked him, when shall these things be? And then he says, and the end of the world, the end of the age. And so Jesus answers both questions. The first part of the answer is there, but the people today, the prophets, so-called prophecy teachers, they conflate everything into one. And that's not true. The first part there is talking about the destruction of Jerusalem and what they should do when they see Jerusalem surrounded. That happened in 70 AD. And then the second part in verse 25 says, and then, and there, if you don't catch this, you're lost. If you don't know how to separate the scriptures, you're lost. You're left in la-la land. From verse 24, Jesus jumps to verse 25 all the way into the future. At the end, the day of the Lord. They ask him about the end of the age, the end of the world, and Jesus is giving it to them. But he doesn't stop and say, okay, now, you know, if you didn't catch it, bye-bye. Too bad. Swing and a miss. You're out. Jesus said, and there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the seas and the waves roaring. Tsunamis. People in distress, perplexed. What? Where are we today, folks? Their hearts failing them for fear, looking toward those things which are coming upon the earth. The powers of the heavens shall be shaken. The same thing. He's saying the same thing that Matthew 24 is talking about. He's saying all those things. I gotta close now. And then shall they see the Son of Man. After these things, shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. When these things begin to come to pass, look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draws near. What does that mean, folks? Your redemption draws near? That means, beam me up, Scotty. We're out of time, folks. We continue this. We'll continue this next time. Trust it has been a blessing to you. Share this with others, will you? Share this with people that need to know. Share it. May God bless you richly. Until next time, this is Augusto Perez. Shalom.